Did you wish you were on yesterday when Johnny Gaudin entered the fray?
Jeez. I got a hit from Johnny Glynn 1 year in Leinster final, and I'll never forget. I remember Cody came up to me after the game and he goes, "How are you feeling?" I was like, "I actually can't remember the first half." He hit me a shot. I think there was a ball out. He hit me in the chest, and I'd say I was honestly concussed. I couldn't remember the first half at all. I was catching my wind for about 2 minutes after. He's a monster of a manager, and the size of the hand on him. But
The Maroon and White Pod, brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
You're welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. It finishes in a draw between Galway and Kilkenny. It's safe to say Galway started really well. Kilkenny came back into it. Kilkenny will probably be kicking themselves that they didn't get to 2 points at the end. And Galway will be thanking Conor Whelan for his wonder point to equalise the game. And both teams settle for a point. Tony, just getting straight to it. Galway fans, when we looked at the Kilkenny team before the game and we seen no Owen Murphy, no Adrian Mullen, no Owen Cody, and no Mikey Carey, we were thinking this is a huge chance and we just have to get 2 points here.
And listen, it was definitely an opportunity. I think this stage of the season, teams are always going to be short certain players. Obviously, the ones you mentioned are high caliber as well. But you know, when you look at most panels now, there's great depth in all the panels across the country, and like the lads have worked as hard as possible since November. So, you know, anyone you're going in against at this level is going to be prepared, ready for it, and you know, you can't take anything for granted. And you know, I think that really showed in terms of Sunday as well, that you have to be on it every day. If you're off at a couple of percent, you know, an unknown player to maybe the public, but would be well known in terms of the player circles, you know, can do damage and can, you know, add to a forward line and bring something different to it as well. So I think that's the exciting thing with the championship now, that there's probably going to be four or five maybe unhurdled stars in each squad that maybe get more game time than in previous, you know, competitions or previous years. And it's those players that will probably make the difference when it comes down the stretch in All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. So Kilkenny are probably really happy to have that opportunity to be missing, you know, so-called starters and have lads come in that done so well that maybe the public hadn't heard of before. And it just adds to a really healthy competition for them going down the line too in Leinster and the All-Ireland series.
When you've seen them names missing before the game, Kieran, do you see a draw as a good result? But then when you watch yesterday, do you see it as one that Kilkenny should have won?
Yeah, I'd say Derek going down obviously would have been very happy with a draw. Look, as you said, look, there's a couple of big characters, a couple of all-stars, a lot of experience missing there. And I suppose, look, Kilkenny have tested a few lads in the last couple of months. You know, Shane Murphy has come into it. You know, a couple of the O'Loughlin's guys have come into it as well. You know, and I suppose at the outset of this, and look, I know we're kind of at a luxury in terms of Leinster Championship. It's not cutthroat like it is in Munster in terms of you can probably try a few lads here and there just to see exactly what they are like at Championship level early on. Because, look, the league probably is, you know, a couple of steps back from where Championship is at, but yeah, look, going down, look, I know a lot of people, you know, you'd hear a lot of lads were saying, look, they'd be optimistic about it. And they're saying, look, they'd probably build up for, let's say, Wexford coming to Nolan Park and them games further down the line. They probably thought maybe the Galway game was not going to be successful. So, yeah, look, Derek going away, obviously he'd be very disappointed. 2 points up going into at a time, then to come away with the draw, it probably does feel like a loss to them. But look, ultimately, look, he'll be happy. Look, I suppose the big thing for Kilkenny this year, and I suppose is to match the likes of Limerick and that kind of stuff, they need finishers. And I suppose we're kind of testing out a few lads, trying to see if we can get a few guys to bring on and make an impact. You know, and like yesterday, you know, without Adrian and Owen, obviously in the forward line especially, you know, John Donnelly stepped up, Massey Keown stepped up, Tom Phelan came back. We hadn't seen Tom Phelan in a while. You know, the last time we seen Tom Phelan hurling for Kilkenny was in the All-Ireland series last year. So, you know, them lads coming back into it, I think 4 points from John, 4 points from Massey, and 3 points from Tom Phelan. So, look, that's a big bonus for them. You add back in Owen Cody into the mix. You add back in Adrian Mullen into the mix. You know, you have a very competitive forward line. So I suppose overall, Derek will be happy. I suppose despite obviously the draw game will feel like a bit of a loss, but ultimately them lads came through the game very well. From his point of view, he probably has a very competitive probably starting 15 and probably your four or five finishers that you need obviously to see out games later on in the year. All boding well that they maintain. But look, the worry, the one thing you would be saying is, I think of the last eight scores, I think Galway scored six of them, I think, of the last eight scores in the game. So that'd be the one thing in terms of closing out the game they would be disappointed with. And just look, plenty of things to work on from there.
You see a draw as a fair result yesterday, Tony?
I suppose both teams are dominant quarters there, as Kieran said. Like, I think Galway started extremely well. Their first 20 minutes was, you know, I felt they had a lot of control of the game. They were really working the ball well to the half forward line, who were then hitting really quick ball into in front of our full forward line. And if a couple of those moves came off, I think Quilo and Cathal Mannion were in for goal chances, just missing pickups and certain things like that. It could have, you know, really put Kilkenny into a bit of trouble playing with the breeze. But Kilkenny seemed to settle down after 20 minutes in and took over the second quarter of the first half, we'll say. And then, you know, after half time again, I think Kilkenny were really dominant maybe that third quarter, and we kind of struggled playing with the wind, which I'd say shouldn't be happening. But, you know, it happened for Kilkenny for periods too in the first half. And then the last quarter, you know, as Kieran highlighted, Galway probably came stronger to get the draw. And, you know, it's probably just shown how even the teams are maybe at the moment. I think someone said in commentary prior to the game that, you know, I think it's been a one-score game the last five or six meetings, and there you go again yesterday. And you know, if they're fortunate enough to meet again in the Leinster final, you know, you will expect a really close contest because I think it's very evenly matched in terms of physicality and personnel and, you know, scoring power as well. So you know, there's very little between the sides as the last few meetings have shown.
Just on that, Tony, when you're talking there about Galway starting so well, is there a certain sense from we're that well that we couldn't put the foot on the throat and really kind of go for it? We're 9-6 up, and you're kind of looking on, waiting for Galway to push on. But obviously, when you're coming up against a force like Kilkenny, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I think that ruthless streak probably wasn't there at stages when we were in the ascendancy in that first 20 minutes. And, you know, there's probably a couple of factors in that. You know, if you look at most of the forward line there yesterday, Cathal Mannion, Huilo, Brian Concannon, you know, haven't played a huge amount of matches yet. So they're getting up to match speed on that side of things. So, like, I think that sharpness will come and that kind of ruthless killer instinct that maybe Eamonn O'Shea would bring into forward lines that we've seen in the past at Tipperary. I think they'll get to that point. And if those chances do come up in the next couple of weeks, I'd expect an improvement in terms of those goal chances being finished. And, you know, if you were coming away from the first 20 minutes of a match with maybe 2-9 on the board or 2-10 on the board, you know, it's going to give you a great position to, you know, probably play from the front then and play with a bit more freedom. But, yeah, hopefully time will tell on that in terms of Galway's clinicalness up front.
The goal early on for Galway, Kieran, worked really well to spot Gavin Lee. Cathal Mannion did have a goal chance in the first half. Maybe he could have passed it to Conor Whelan. It was at a bit of an angle, but the way they worked that ball, particularly in the first half, was just excellent on the 18th minute from Gavin Lee.
It was, and Galway caused the problems and they ran at us. And look, that's, I suppose, the one thing, Kilkenny, you know, in terms of even the last couple of years with Limerick and the All-Ireland, that kind of stuff, you know, when teams run at us at times, we do struggle. And Galway are running at us at times. And I know, look, the purple patch Galway had at the start is, I think Kilkenny were allowing the corner, the full back line conceding the puck out, so standing off, and then they're trying to have a second press. It wasn't really working.
Your
And
half forward line seemed to come very deep as well.
yeah, half forward line came very deep, and the Galway lads were able to find our players. And look, obviously that runner's coming through. It's hard to defend, you know. Myself and Tony attend to that. Like a lad running at full tilt against you, and you're standing trying to stop him. You either have to take him down, or he's going to go around you. You know, so it's very hard to defend that sort of attack. And we struggled at that. And then Kilkenny kind of pushed up then on their puck outs then, and made Galway kind of go long, and they started getting a bit more off that again. So Look, there's probably a bit of merit in that as well. And I know at this stage, probably both teams are probably trying different stuff. You know, Kilkenny are kind of working on how they play the ball out and play a smarter ball in. You know, we see TJ at glimpses there. Probably not enough ball went into TJ in the first half for Kilkenny at times there, especially with the wind. But then obviously with the wind in the second, in you know, as you said, goal in the second half, it's how you use the wind as well. You know, teams are more so in terms of setting up and how to use possession. They actually probably play better against the wind at times now. They probably don't know how to play with elements at times as well. So that's why you kind of can see at times teams will struggle even with the elements and how they play, because you can go too long and, you know, you can start taking the shots from distance as well. And, you know, scoring efficiency, you know, can really play into it. And teams are so kind of caught up on obviously efficiencies and stats and, you know, the wides and that kind of stuff, that they might be reluctant to maybe take on the long shots, and that if they haven't been working on it. So all that kind of comes into the mix. But I suppose for Kenny's point of view, look, as you alluded to there, Galway had chances. I know Conor Whelan had a chance there. I think he stumbled over the ball or that. He would, you know, usually he'd pick that up in his bottom corner and it's a goal. Like, you know, so Kenny were probably lucky they only conceded one, you know, at that stage. And as he said, look, that score and that ruthlessness that Kilkenny have at times, and even efficiency. I know Kilkenny were a lot more efficient, I think, you know, in terms of scoring chances. I think, you know, they were a lot more efficient in terms of what the ball they had. And that's probably something that Galway probably need to look at. I know Eamon O'Shea is in there at the moment, and you can see kind of trademarks in terms of how they link up the play. But yeah, I thought the Kilkenny full backline done really well. Because I think it was a Tom Monaghan, he was just getting ball and he was just whipping it in, you know. He was just getting on so much ball, and I know Paddy Deegan was kind of dropping deep, and our midfielders weren't really picking up Tom Monaghan. He got a lot of possession there near the start, and thankfully our full back line dealt with it fairly well, you know. At that stage, a lot of it kind of broke down and we were able to nullify it. But you know, going forward, if you know, if Leinster final comes and they get that amount of ball in, and you know, you get Conor Whelan that's in a sharper form and that kind of stuff, and that sort of space in front of them, you know, it's not going to work. So I think Kilkenny will have to work on that, you know, how you're going to maybe drop back an extra man to make sure that your number 11 or your centre forward that is probably sitting in midfield linking play from the half back line is picked up, and you know, you have your extra defender there in the back, then obviously to sweep up as well. You know, that all comes into play. So look, yesterday was a lot of shadow boxing as well. The two of them were probably sussing each other out as well. You know, a bit of biting as well. But look, you could see with the lads, you know, in terms of it wasn't do or die, you know, and they kind of know that themselves, you know, where you'd probably be seeing the next time they meet, hopefully Leinster final, that we'll see a little bit more of a ruthless streak in both sides.
Tony, last time you were on the podcast, we touched on Galway's delivery from the half back line, and it was still there at certain stages yesterday where we delivered ball and maybe it's not the best ball. Like Kilkenny backs did come out with that ball a lot of the time. Kieran talks about there, if you're in the half back line, it can be uncomfortable sometimes when you have players running from all sorts. Did we go away from that, do you feel?
Yeah, I think our method of play the first 20 minutes really suited us in terms of you know, working it through the lines and Davey maybe dropping into the half back line. And you know, as Kieran maybe alluded to there, Kilkenny probably sat off us a bit and allowed us to have that numerical advantage in our own half and you know, get lads facing the play and then able to hit ball uncontested into the full forward line. It made it you know, probably an easier job. But when Kilkenny did press us, then we struggled with that in the second quarter and the first half, and you know, particularly the third quarter, then you know, playing with the breeze, I felt maybe we probably went a bit too long at times with Darroch and Pádraic maybe booming those 90, 100 yard deliveries, and Kilkenny had the men back and were able to build their attacks from there. So, you know, again, Galway probably have to look at that third quarter and say, you know, are we dropping as half forwards deep enough to, you know, demand that ball and start playing it through the lines and getting runners off them and you know, not getting too kind of one dimensional in terms of the long ball to 14 and hoping we get a break or two off it, because it certainly didn't work in the third quarter. And you know, we should have enough of lessons learned, I think, the last season or two in All-Ireland semi-finals where we probably overdid that tactic. And you know, it's just maybe continuing to work on that and working through that sequence of, you know, looking for the ball for our midfielders and looking for our half forwards and making sure that they keep coming deep, looking for that ball to, you know, force Kilkenny, you know, either mark them or, you know, if they don't, you know, then you have the free ball and you're able to work it into a better advantageous position for a full forward line to come onto. But I think most teams are trying to do that, and maybe Kilkenny pressed it really well there in that third quarter, and we just couldn't find that pass and sequence through the middle third.
Do we need to stop booming it? You're mentioning it there from the back in particular. Sometimes we are guilty of just booming it and maybe not looking up at stages. Does that need to stop?
Yeah, I definitely think when we do go on the longer puck outs that we maybe have to come up with more variety. There has to be maybe spaces on the sidelines, whatever it is in terms of our half forward line positioning that we're not doing, or if we are finding a wing back or a corner back with the ball, what's the movement after that in terms of our middle third? So I still think there's work there in terms of that when a team presses as hard. What are we doing in terms of those out balls? But definitely we were probably a bit better at it and more consistent yesterday, but there's still work to be done there in terms of that.
Is that something you felt Galway struggled on yesterday here?
Yeah, look, it is, and I suppose, and look, I know from my own getting into the kind of coaching world as well, trying to get our backs comfortable carrying ball up to a point where you can deliver a good pass, I suppose, into your full forward line or into your dangerous forward, and if you're delivering from too deep, it's a lot easier to defend. But obviously then you have your that middle third between both 45s is like that's the most key area for both teams now, and there's so many players in that area now, and then you have to get very comfortable in terms of being able to take a tackle and have runners coming and being able to look up and then give the right ball. And a lot of the time then, you'd be saying to yourself, "Oh, I'll avoid that. I'll just hit it long. I'll hit from the wing back and I'll go 80, 90 yards into the bottom, into the far corner." But it can slow down the play. It's very hard to find that pocket of space as well at that stage. Ideally, I'm not harping back to, but the good teams now, the likes of Limerick, are carrying into that area where they can hit the pass. I don't know if you've seen their last yesterday, a couple of the passes, the majority of the wing backs, they're hitting it probably on their own 65, or if not the opposition 65, by the time they're putting that ball into their full forward line. And not saying that every team are trying to do that, but they're trying to get into a better position, obviously, to give good delivery. And that. So look, that's probably what all teams are trying to do now, better efficiency. But obviously the tackling, there's fierce tackling there yesterday. And to be fair, the ref was actually very good. He let it go, in terms of that. There was Kilkenny were probably a little bit more cuter in terms of getting the second breaks, the breaking ball a couple of at times when, but maybe the Galway lads probably missed out on that break and that kind of stuff. And look, that ultimately kind of helped us at key moments there where, we probably needed a score or two, obviously, to keep the scoreboard ticking over in purple patches that Galway had. And look, that's what Kilkenny are very good at. It's not that they have set plays, but I don't know, they just at certain stages they might load one wing and they'll go that way and they'll make it a contest and they'll win the contest, and like we've always done, and they'll either get a free from there or they'll build from there, and that's probably what they've done. Suppose for Galway's point of view, look, Galway has some very good forwards, trying to get the right
What
ball into their forwards.
what's your own view on Galway at the minute? Obviously from an outside perspective, but what's your own view on them at the minute, Kieran?
My own view of Galway at the minute is, I suppose, look, for me, they're probably underachieving based on the set of players that they have. Probably look last year, I know the Leinster final probably was a sucker punch in terms of obviously the last minute or two in terms of how it was won. Look, they have a lot of very good players. And I suppose at certain times, certain players are in good form. Other times, like let's say certain forwards are on at eight and nines consistently, but you need a couple of more other players being at seven and eights for them, where a lot of the time that's not the case. You have a couple of standout forwards for Conor Whelan being one, but other days then a couple of other players are off it. And all they need is one or two others to carry that burden at times, and they're kind of missing that, especially since Joe has gone. And everyone said who's going to take up that mantle, but it's not a one team game. And no one is a one team player anymore. But they're probably missing that consistency from a couple of their kind of marquee forwards there that have been there for the last couple of years. They have some good games, they have some bad games. And that collective consistency from all the players, I suppose, if they get that right and they make that click, they're they're as a competitive team as anything. You know, physically, they match up to every single team out there. You know, they match up to Kilkenny, they match up to Limerick, they match up to Clare. But I suppose just collectively, from my point of view, looking at it, I suppose day in, day out, do they get the same consistency from every single player? They probably don't. They probably do from about five or six key lads, but they need another five or six key lads giving you a seven and an eight every single game as well, you know. And that's what they're kind of missing, you know. And that's probably why the consistency hasn't been there for them. I suppose that's what Henry's trying to do. I know you have so much underage success as well. And you're trying to blend that in as well. And there's a couple of them players coming in along, and there's experience there as well. So, you know, you'd be hoping the likes of Eamon O'Shea will come in and maybe give him a bit more structure in the forward side of the house, and maybe get him that ruthless streak that he usually has, that we've been at the tail end of at times with Kilkenny. So, look, there's a lot there for it, but look, there probably is pressure there. You know, there is pressure to achieve, you know. There's pressure there, obviously, to try and win Leinster. To win Leinster and get into a semi-final is what everyone wants. You know, Kilkenny wants to do it every single year. We target that. You know, route one, win your get into your semi-final. You can build from there again. You know, any lads with niggles, you can build it. Going into the qualifiers, then it's just regardless of who you meet, it's an extra game. It's a condensed season. You know, ideally, Henry would want to win Leinster, get into a semi-final then, and play obviously your whatever your loser, your Munster maybe that usually comes and build from there. But and that's what Galway will be aiming for. You know, that's what they're probably building for as well. You know, obviously, look, not belittling what Leinster is, but like trying to get into the Leinster final, try and win Leinster and get into an All Ireland semi, and then build for that, and then obviously that one game then away from an All Ireland, and then anything goes then, like, you know. So, but yeah, that's probably where I would see it.
Just on that, Tony, Kieran mentions the words there, underachievers with Galway. Would you agree with that?
Listen, I think there's probably a couple of opportunities there in terms of Leinster titles the last couple of years that maybe, particular one, I suppose Shane O'Neill was over the team, and maybe Richie Hogan came on and got a wonder goal, whatever you want to call it. And last year, obviously, with the late concession of a goal, I think Kilkenny are going for five in a row in Leinster. So I think Galway definitely had opportunities to maybe win two over the last four anyway. And there was missed opportunities there. So that is a bit of underachievement from that perspective. Listen, you can only take it on this season now. They're all past history, and it's about this year's Leinster Championship, and that's what the players have to aim for and focus in on, and see where that takes them. Then in terms of the All Ireland series, then if they can win that and go in the front door, it just gives you a different fillip of confidence approaching that semi-final. And as Kieran mentioned, you're probably playing, a loser in Munster who might be potentially on a bit of a downer after losing a Munster championship. So, there's definitely pros in terms of going the front route in terms of confidence and maybe the challenge that you face in a semi-final.
I just mentioned it earlier on, Tony, when you look at that first half, we were 7-4 up, then we go 1-7-8. And then Kilkenny really outscores in that second quarter of the first half, and it's 1-9-16. You mentioned there with the forward, some of them mightn't be as sharp because they haven't played a lot of games together, and you could say that with a lot of positions. Do you think that's why maybe Galway are coming in and out of games at the minute, because a lot of these players haven't played together as a starting 15 this year?
Yeah, it's definitely a correlation in terms of the more you can play in your lines with similar lads and in your positions with similar lads, you kind of get to know each other's kind of behaviors and habits and tendencies there. So, like, I'd expect our teamwork to improve over the coming weeks. And, no more than Limerick, their first day out after Clare, there was a bit of rustiness there in terms of their approach. And you could see it even in game two now. They've probably moved it on a 10 or 20% in terms of improvement and teamwork, etc. So, if Galway want to progress this year, the curve should be going up the next day in terms of Wexford again and an improvement on performance, and just nailing those things in terms of puck outs and nailing those things at a higher level in terms of efficiency and teamwork. And that's the ask, I think, like management and players have put on themselves this week in terms of the pressure to, increase their level of performance and individually and collectively be a bit better than the first game against Kilkenny, like.
On that, Kieran, Conor Cooley missed a few frees yesterday. Evan Nyland came on. Then Evan Nyland is a 95% free taker. He'll score the majority of frees for you. What would you do now in that situation?
If I was Henry,
Yeah.
look, I know. Yeah, I look. I know Evan brings you that efficiency, and I know. Look, Connor had an off day. Yeah, look, it's a tough one, I suppose. Look, Connor obviously brings you a physicality side. You know, it's hard for him not to play. You know, he's a big
Yeah.
guy. Evan obviously brings you that efficiency, and look, he has a work rate as well. But you know, it depends on the game plan you want to go with. You know, do you start Evan? You know, for his free taking capabilities. Obviously, he's a very good loose player, and you know, ball in hand, he's excellent as well. Depends on the game plan you're going to be doing. You know, you're going down to Exeter Park here now. It's going to be physical. It's, you know, you're going to have the crowd on your back. You know, you probably want someone that's cool and calm to nail your frees, because look, there's going to be a certain amount of frees in any game, so you probably want that efficiency. Look, and if that is the case, and he wants to make sure that he's not, I don't know what scoring efficiency was. I know he missed a few, and I know, look, there's probably a whirling wind if it's usually salted in the last summer down. You know, and you can even see with the Munster game yesterday, so many frees were missed, and I suppose we didn't realise. And I think it was the Declan Hannan kind of mentioned in an interview yesterday. He said the wind was quite bad there in the Gaelic grounds, and nobody kind of noticed to a certain extent, so it can have an effect. But yeah, look, going down to Exeter Park, you do want your free taker nailing 90% of your frees. So is it a case of he starts Nyland, you know, for that ability alone? You know, that's the decision they'll have to make, and that. But look, going down there, look, it is going to be a pressure cooker in terms of that. Any team goes down there, you never get an easy game. So you know, it will come down to cool, calm head. You know, could come down to a free in stoppage time to win it for you. You know, so yeah, look, if I was Henry, I probably would still stay with Cooney starting. And you know, for the physicality that he brings. You know, if you have the luxury of bringing in Ireland, obviously you can. But you know, for me, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't change away from where he's at. You know, but obviously, if the frees go that kind of way again, you'd probably be getting in a little bit sooner in, you know, to bring up that efficiency if needed. But yeah, that's where I'd go.
What would you do there, Tony? Because obviously we're not saying now that Connor's going to lose out if Evan comes in. Evan can easily come in and take over the frees. But you feel like if Evan's going to play, he's going to play in a roaming role in the full forward line. But Colin Mannion seems to be playing that role. So does it come then maybe between himself and Tom Monaghan for that number 11 spot?
Yeah, it's good selection headache, I suppose, for management to have. Evan definitely had a very positive impact both from frees and from play when he came in yesterday, and looked very assured in his play. So, you know, it looks like his game is in a good spot. You know, I think Tom Monaghan had a very good first half, in fairness to him, for large periods. Seemed to get a bang on the knee, I suppose, 5 6 minutes into the second half, and it probably impacted his running ability. So maybe that was probably the tactical call on that one there to take him off, and he wasn't running as fluidly. But like, they're the options now that you'll probably have to look at for Saturday evening, in terms of what's the balance that you want to have inside, and what's the kind of setup you want to have in your half forward line. So, you know, I think it's kind of horses for courses in terms of that, and it's great that Galway have, I suppose, two very strong free taking options. And you know, I suppose three missed frees, and we're kind of maybe critical of a free taker. With a swirling wind, I think it's, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer, and
So
just
would you keep Connor
yeah,
on
I think
freeze?
you trust in the Connor's ability there and his leadership there, and I think it's something he'll get right Saturday evening and going forward as well. These things happen. I think his capability under pressure, particularly there with Thomas's over the course of the All-Ireland Club Series, was phenomenal. And you know, we're only two games into the championship yet, and I think you look at it over a course of three games and see where he's at then in terms of efficiency, and maybe look at it from there then after that.
Just after halftime, Galway get a fortuitous goal and the ball comes in. Aidan Tallis bats it down, but Branka Cannon is there alert. It was probably disappointing in one sense when that happened, Kieran, from a Kilkenny perspective, because they really started to take control of the game. Galway get it back level, but again after that, Kilkenny take control of the game again.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Pallas done very well. You know, Jeezy made a couple of great saves there. So I know, look, it's a learner for him. He'll never forget that. It's like everything, once it's imprinted in your brain, he'll probably be working on those long pucks and then dropping balls for the next couple of weeks anyway. But yeah, look, it was. But look, the impact. And, you know, even when Galway got the goal in the first half, I think Kilkenny got the next 3 points on the trot, you know, which is great. It's a sign of a good team. You know, they can bounce back. You know, sometimes a goal can have a big momentum shift for any team. But for Kilkenny, I suppose every time the goal went in, they responded. They got the first score afterwards, nullifying, not making it, you know, which is always a good thing. You know, if you can see the goal, getting a point back straight away, you know, it kind of nullifies that kind of goal impact. And Kilkenny seems very good at that at the moment, you know, and that. But yeah, look, Owen Murphy's massive shoes to fill there. So young Talis has come in under Derek with the under 20s, you know, and he's been brought in there now. And it's good to see, you know, young chaps getting a chance as well. You know, it's probably a position that has been nailed down for Owen for a number of years, but it's good to see, look, there is backup there, you know, in case Owen's not able to play or that. So look, it's a big learning curve for him. He learned an awful lot from it. And from Kenny's point of view, I suppose the most impressive thing is how quickly they bounce back from those sort of setbacks, you know. That's a sign of a good team.
As we mentioned, Galway went out of that game in the third quarter and then showed huge character and resilience when things weren't going their way, to get back into that. Joseph Cooney and Johnny Glynn coming on probably shows the depth that Galway are starting to build there, Tony. But is the character the biggest positive out of yesterday?
Yeah, like in fairness, I could never question the team's character the last number of years in particular. Like they're always in the fight, whether it's, you know, going down the stretch and staying in there and hanging in there and finding a way to pull themselves level or whatever. And you know, obviously Limerick have, you know, tested that just with their quality the last two semi-finals. But particularly in the Kilkenny matches, I think they've found themselves in positions where 6, 7, 8 points down, you know, in Leinster finals and found a way to get back into them. And yesterday was no different. And Cahill came out around the middle third. Joe Cooney started picking up a bit of ball at wing forward and we just got a bit of momentum, started running at Kilkenny again, won a couple of frees and, you know, eventually started, you know, picking away at that scoreboard. And, you know, you could see it kind of coming and in fairness, never panicked and, you know, worked the last two scores well to, you know, get a draw out of a position that maybe wasn't looking great, maybe 15, 20 minutes before that.
Who were Galway's best performers yesterday for you, Tony?
I think Doughty was really impressive under puck outs and just his positional sense for a lot of it and his use of possession. Keenan was very good on the ball and used it quite well. I think, you know, we're probably a bit open in our half back line and, you know, it's probably more so to get that kind of connection between our midfield and our half forwards, like Limerick, you know, really make that area so difficult for teams to run through, pass through or deliver a good ball inside. Whereas, you know, I found a lot of the times there in the first half in particular when Kilkenny attacked, they were able to recycle the ball back out to their midfielders and, you know, they're in oceans of space and able to strike balls over the bar. You know, so it's something we definitely need to work on, you know, in the first and second half in terms of getting our half forwards back the field and getting our midfielders back to close down that space and help out our half back line because you know, it just seemed to be too much kind of space there for Kilkenny to shoot points kind of unopposed. So I think that's a big area of work on. You know, I think Conor and Cathal Mannion obviously showed really well for the majority of the game as well. No surprise there, and I think they'll even get better from yesterday as well. I think they've just, you know, will continue to improve. Brian Buchanan will definitely come on from yesterday's game as well. He hasn't had much game time, as I mentioned. So they're probably the notable ones. I think Fintan had a fine game on TJ for the majority. Probably just needs to tidy up his use of possession a couple of times, but I think he, you know, caught three or four very good balls over TJ and, you know, defended quite well when TJ had possession as well. And TJ is just a massive threat and a massive kind of link man. So they'd be kind of the four or five that I thought kind of stood out for us yesterday.
Just on yesterday, the makeup of goes back 6 years, and it's been interesting this year because they've kind of made a good few changes to it. When you compare the back six last year, obviously Darren Morrissey comes off with a serious collarbone injury, I think it is, and he's going to be out now for a few weeks. Jack Grealish replaces him. Fintan goes at full back, Bourke Mannion at four, then Sean Lennon, Keenan Fahey at six, and Dolly Burke at seven. Has the makeup of where some of those players are playing in particular surprised you this year?
Yeah, I suppose. Look, sure, Dahi has been. I mean, I don't know how many All-Stars he got at fullback. You know, he's probably the most assured fullback there since JJ Delaney for a long time. You know, so look, it is a big change for these guys. And look, the one thing I would say is you probably need consistency in terms of where your backs are playing. So they can judge and read how certain players are, you know, whether to go under the high ball with another player or to cover from behind, or you know, how comfortable they are in certain positions, you know. And I suppose, look, I know the one thing, Kenny, look, we know Hugh Lawler's our fullback, and that's it, you know, like there's no one else going to take that off him. Paddy Deegan's kind of filled into the centre back role, which has kind of been chopped and changed for Kenny for the last little while, for the last couple of years. You know, we had Blanchfield maybe could be there as well. Richie Reid was centre back at one stage, you know. So look, I think consistency in your places, and you know, have getting your backs in a comfortable position in terms of how they play with each other, knowing their key strengths, their key weaknesses, is very important, I suppose, as your base. And that, so yeah, look, it was surprised, and I know, sure, look, Dahi Burke was centre back there for a year or two as well, and he, you know, he's been flying it there, so they are probably being utilised in terms of being moved around. And look, they're not being moved around based on how games are man marking. You know, maybe one or two lads maybe man marking, and they have an ability to roam. But for me, look, I suppose the most important thing is obviously to get lads comfortable in that position, and being able to play different game plans that are played at them. You know, because every single team will bring a different game plan, and once a back gets comfortable in that position, you know, whether it's going to be two inside and they have a lot of space to mark, and how they attack the ball, and how to use, maybe someone's going to drop as well. That's I suppose is a key part for any team. So Kenny, I think, look, we are quite comfortable. Look, we know Mikey Butler's our is cornerback. He's that nailed on, and he'll roam around, and he'll man mark whoever is to be man marked, and he's, you know, they're comfortable enough letting him go up the field if he has to man mark. And we know Hugh Lawler will stay in around the box, and we know Tommy Welsh will be there beside him. Shane Murphy's brought in another dynamic to it this year. You know, he can play kind of wing back or corner back. You know, Mick Carey has to come back in. We haven't seen much of him yet, but we know he's great pedigree for wing back. Paddy Deegan's kind of looks in. So we kind of have a stable kind of back unit there that we know, and we have one or two lads then that we know can play in different positions if needs be. Probably goal will probably want the same, you know. And that's the pride thing, you know. Even Mannion, you know, he's been a brilliant wing back, and they brought him in more to the centre there at times as well. You know, it's trying to get the best out of these players, but obviously not trying to sacrifice them, you know, to kind of cover other positions. Like, and look, Kilkenny, we had to do that for a couple of years. Padraig Welsh, probably our best wing back. For Kilkenny, we had to play in fullback for a time, you know, just to kind of cover up an area until Hugh Lawler came into it. And look, you don't want that to happen either, you know. Like, let's say a back that's been so dominant in a certain position, and he makes it his trademark, and then he has to go into another position, and they'll all do it, you know, for the sake of the team and for the sake of trying to win. But in the long run, throughout the season, does it end up having a negative impact on you, you know, overall? Maybe it does, you know, because the great goal of teams down through the years, you know, geez, they lived off Doughty coming out, catching a ball over whoever, and you know, winning a free or busting out and giving it off to whoever, you know. And is he kind of that dominant kind of player, maybe being moved around? Does he show that dominance in games anymore? Or does he, you know, that teams can build on? You're probably not getting as much because he's been moved around an awful lot. So yeah, look, that's probably something that you might have to do. And look, that's from my perspective looking in, and that. But I suppose consistency in the position, and kind of getting a lot of game time in, and getting lads comfortable in that position, and letting them build their game plan around that is very important.
Just something I was noting yesterday, Tony. Galway limited Kilkenny to six frees. TJ nails all of them. And that's obviously a huge positive that he can take out of yesterday. But then at the same time, they did concede 23 points from play, While if you look at Limerick and Tipperary, Limerick only conceded 9 points from play. Is this where a lot of teams are behind Limerick? Because their discipline and the scores are able to limit teams from play seems to be, for a lot of other teams, it seems to be a lot higher than it is for Limerick.
And listen, it's definitely one marker. I think you have to get to 30 scores if you're realistically going to beat Limerick. But the work rate side of it, again, I think it was highlighted yesterday on the telly that something like 42 turnovers to Tipperary's maybe 14 or something. So, like, that's a serious difference there between the teams in terms of work rate. And it's to do with different things. You could always say that's attitude or whatever, but it's positioning too and set up in terms of how you're defending opposition puck outs and the setup of your half forward line and how deep certain players are in the forward line in terms of the defensive positions. And I think Limerick have that nailed better than most, and they always have people near the contact zone in terms of where the ball is and getting two and three bodies to tackle areas. And that's why their turnover success is so high, and they've obviously had to work on their discipline at different times. Their free count can be too high in certain occasions with referees or their own tackle efficiency. But I'd be more concerned, if you're not getting in a high tackle count and your free count is very low. So, I definitely think, if you had the Galway stats at hand, I think we've work to do there in terms of our forward line and midfield. How many clean tackles and turnovers we got in, how many times we forced Kilkenny to make four and five passes and maybe shoot more under pressure. I definitely think there was gaps there between our half forward line, our midfield and our half back line that, we need to close down quicker and have a better, chemistry between those lines in terms of cutting down the space and making it harder to score against, because 23 points in play, is a lot to concede. And some of those shots were under little to no pressure at times in fairly good scoring position. So I think it's an improvement from anything up five up to 15 in particular in terms of increasing that turnover count.
You mentioned it early on, Kieran, that you think there were certain elements of shadow boxing. I get the sense you think that these two teams are going to be in the Leinster final.
Yeah, look, I would think, look, based on how performances have gone year to date, I would think, look, the two strongest teams in Leinster at the moment, squad level, I suppose, especially. Look, we know, look, there's other teams that can give any team a run for the money, but they probably don't have the squad or the depth that probably Kilkenny and Galway have at the moment. And no matter what happens, your five subs come on, they always have an impact, and the panel is so important these days. Especially look at the attrition rate and the amount of running teams are doing now, especially the game plans they're playing. So that impact off the bench, and not it's gonna be a podcast about Limerick, but you can see the impact they've had. There are five or six lads that come on every single game, and they've won them so many games down through the years.
Five
Kilkenny are
points
trying with
yesterday from the bench, like.
Yeah, and Kilkenny are trying to do the same, in terms of the impact there. And every team is, Galway will probably try and have their finishes as well. And it's trying to build your squad to that depth. Try and find your one or two key lads every year to bring on your team that little bit more, to have that extra bit of cover that you need, or that X factor you need, maybe with 10 or 15 minutes to go. That could maybe turn a two point deficit into a 2 point win. So like those are the things that they're working on. And look, I suppose, look, that's where I think Kilkenny are kind of trying to build, because look, they've seen the last 2 years we've been unsuccessful, and it's the third quarter. We got mercified last year in the All-Ireland, and every single year, even the last quarter the previous year, so there's certain things that we're trying to find, other players that can make a difference for us at those key moments, and trying to get the matchups right and what players can take on certain players and whatever man-to-man matchup they're going to do, and that. So an awful lot of that is trying and testing the guys out, and no better place to do it, obviously, when you go down to Galway, when you're a big physical team as well. And look, both teams kind of play traditional, which is good in a lot of ways. We don't try and do any sweepers or do any game plans. We kind of go long ball, and you fight for your own ball. So
Did you wish you were on yesterday when Johnny Gaudin entered the fray?
jeez. I got a hit from Johnny Glynn 1 year in Leinster final, and I'll never forget. I remember Cody came up to me after the game and he goes, "How are you feeling?" I was like, "I actually can't remember the first half." He hit me a shot. I think there was a ball out. He hit me in the chest, and I'd say I was honestly concussed. I couldn't remember the first half at all. I was catching my wind for about 2 minutes after. He's a monster of a manager, and the size of the hand on him. But yeah, I know. Look, and look, that's two big things as well. Like, you know, he's come back in. He's probably missing a bit of game time. You know, he hasn't been playing senior intercounty for a couple of years. You know, regardless of him playing in New York and that kind of stuff. Look, it takes a while to get back up to that level, but we can all see what he does, the damage he does. You know, he's a route one man that he can have in there, and if he can get lads working off him, you know, he brings that extra dimension to him. So, suppose, look, their plan is obviously introduce him yesterday. He probably didn't get the huge amount of deliveries in that he wanted to. You know, going in on Hugh Lawler as well, you know, won't be long bringing you back into the swing of things. So, you know, look, there's a lot of positives for them as well. You know, they have that X factor on the bench as well. If you can get them lads up to that level that they were at before, and we know that what they can do, you know, there's no doubt it can cause problems, because all the great teams, look, there's no full back line. You know, if there's ball coming in and you have the likes of a Johnny Glynn in there, it's very hard to defend, you know, no matter who's there. So that's probably something that Galway probably will try and work around, and try and, you know, get him into the right positions and get the right people working off him.
Yeah, he nearly got in, Tony, at the end. Strike along the ground there. Actually saved by Aidan Tallis. But do you ever get a hit off Johnny Glynn as well in training?
A Tony be given them, I'd say.
Listen, he's freakish strength, Johnny. Like, you know, and I think it's not just his ball winning that he'd bring. I think his attitude and energy around the group is very infectious. Like, he's just such a positive influence, and, you know, probably one of the hardest working players then off the ball as well. So, you know, if he's closing you down, there's not much space to get either side of him, and you get into his grip, you're under pressure. So listen, he'll definitely, you know, make it very hard for defenders, both in training and also in the matches, obviously against the opposition, and along with his ball winning, I think he'll add a different dynamic to it. And you know, he's definitely a great option for Galway to consider in the half forward line or full forward line.
Tony, who's number one in Leinster now, Galway or Kilkenny?
Probably based off yesterday's performance and who they're missing, Kilkenny are probably slightly ahead at this point, you know, but what are we from a Leinster final at this stage? There's still a couple of games to go, and both squads will obviously improve the next couple of weeks, and, you know, it's the teams that improve the most will probably be successful. So, you know, time will tell, but off yesterday's performance, I think Kilkenny will be slightly happier with their performance, and considering the players are missing as well. So I put them slightly ahead at the moment, but, you know, a couple of weeks can change things very quickly in this game. So it's all about improvement.
Do you still see Kilkenny in pole position, Kieran?
Look for Leinster, I do. Obviously, look, trying to get all our full squad back. I think, look, I don't, you know, there's a lot of things there. As you said, there's a couple of guys that have to come back in for goal as well that could stir it up a bit. They probably are looked two form teams. I would rate Kilkenny still number one in Leinster at the moment. They're building nicely, I suppose, in the background. You know, you never hear anything out of the camp anyway. Everett is going along, you know, ticking away, which is always a good thing. And that, so look, they have a couple of games here that they can obviously still, I suppose, rest their key men and get them ready for a Leinster final. Look, hopefully they will be able to get all their key men back for the Leinster final, I suppose. And look, on the base that they get there, and it's no disrespect to any other teams, but, you know, that's where they're earmarking for, and obviously then trying to build for the for that, and, you know, trying to go route one, as we said earlier, which is the easiest route in a condensed season, and especially with the wear and tear on a lot of the bodies, and especially looking, you'd think O'Loughlin's were going, and I know Thomas is and that kind of thing as well going, a lot of the key players on both sides there are going all season around. I know TJ's, it's like, he's like the magic man. He's been doing that for years, year in, year out with Ballyhale, and he just keeps throwing the magic every single year. But look, it can be tough on the body, you know, wear and tear, you know, it's a long season with club and same account and that kind of stuff. So the shorter that you can and the less intense these championship games are, you know, you can pick and choose them and build your team around it and, you know, get the right rest and recovery for these guys is key. So, and look, from our point of view, we'll be earmarking that, and Gaul will be earmarking that, and they both want to be sitting there watching the qualifiers, seeing who's going to come in and play them. So yeah, look, it bodes well for the next couple of weeks. Couple of big games still coming up before that, but yeah, that's where I would see it going to happen.
Tony, in saying that, there's only one game this weekend in the Leinster Championship on Saturday, 4th of May, in Wexford Park. It's on GAA Go, the 4 o'clock game. It's safe to say Galway are going into the Lions Den this weekend, really. Like, Wexford are seriously going to be hurting because for large stages against Antrim, they dominated the game. But again, they struggled in their final quarter. And with the way Galway are probably hurling at the minute, where they're probably hurling in fits and starts like this, Galway need to be seriously on it here against Wexford, because this Wexford group are going to be hurting. Because if Wexford were to lose this, it's 1 point after three games, and they only just about stayed up last year, and they don't want to get into that situation again.
Yeah, listen, I think Wexford will be really disappointed, with their, the points that they've got from the two games. They were in, fairly good leads with the Dublin match, maybe 6 or 7 points coming into injury time. And again, probably halfway through the second half against Antrim, 6 or 7 points up, and, let it slip. And, I think went 2 points up after conceding a goal as well, and, again, had to find a way to get a draw. And then, let it slip again towards the finish. So, there's probably a lot of doubt there after the first two games in terms of can they get in or get out of the championship. And, they're going to be a very dangerous animal in terms of Saturday evening, because their championship season is on the line, and, that can take a certain amount of pressure off. They just have to go for it now at this stage. And, Galway are going to have to be absolutely really prepared for, a very ferocious crowd down there, and you'd imagine that Wexford come with an absolutely ferocious challenge with nothing to lose mentality, and really put Galway under the cosh. So we have to be really ready for that physicality, and that first quarter I'd say will be as intense as a Leinster Championship match that you'll get.
And you obviously don't care from coaching the Wexford under 20s. You're probably surprised with the way the Wexford seniors were there at the minute, given how they started in the league. But like, as we're saying here, Keith Rossiter is a proud Wexford man. Like, Wexford are going to be hurting this weekend, and sure, Kilkenny only know this too well from last year.
Yeah, geez, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I it's for some reason they don't seem to do well with the favourites tag, and they love the underdog games, and they're able to get themselves up a lot easier, obviously playing ourselves and the top tier teams, and that. But yeah, look, it was surprising. Obviously, look, losing to Dublin by or drawing the Dublin game, obviously being 3 points up, and then obviously, as you said, you alluded to with the Antrim, probably Wexford could be sitting on top of the table at the moment now, if things went that according to plan for them. So look, yeah, they're under the caution, and they are under pressure. There's no doubt about that. They know that themselves. They're probably thankful that's a home game. Obviously, they'll build off that. They'll build off they're a tough team to go down to Wexford Park, and even under Cody and that, we never had a lot of happy days on Wexford Park. They just made it so hard. That was back in the days of Davy and a sweeper and that. All them elements come into it, and they just make it a really tough place to go down and play. And it could be a strong wind coming down from the sea and that. And one I remember one day alone, Lee Chin bet our team one day, and that's what happens. Some days these lads hit peak form, and they can do stuff that they don't do normal days, so all that element plays into it. So yeah, look, from a momentum shift, obviously Galway would probably be going down there as favourites based on how results have gone. How will that sit with Galway? Are they able to manage that? But obviously, from Wexford's point of view, they'll be saying, look, we've nothing to lose here. We can just go for this. And from their point of view, they need a win, obviously, as well. And that could probably kickstart their season for them, however long it'll be. And look, that's what they'll be aiming for. So it'll be, as Tony alluded to, it'll be a frantic 15, 20 minutes, I suppose, until the game beds down and see how it goes. But yeah, if you're any way off at all, and if you're anyway thinking this is a foregone conclusion, you're going to get it into a rude awakening.
Yeah, it's one goal we need to win too, Tony, because if we weren't to win this, you're straight back into a battle. Because if Wexford were to actually turn Galway over here this weekend, they'd both be level on points. So it's a win goal we need to get here now to avoid going into a battle to bring other teams back into this championship. If they can win this, there's momentum behind them. going down to Wexford to get a result, because it's not an easy place to go on the best of days.
Yeah, listen, both teams will get a serious bounce off this if they can get a win. And, you know, if Wexford did win it, it would really open up, you know, that Leinster final spot. Then it becomes an opportunity for a lot of teams. So, listen, all we can do really is focus on their own preparation the next 5 or 6 days and focus on, you know, their performance and their performance measures and, you know, look at results then afterwards and see where they are on the table. So, you know, you could talk till the cows come home in terms of win, losses, and draws and where the table will be. It's still only a point in time, and there'll be about three more games after it as well. So, you know, it's about just knuckling down this week and getting their preparation right and, you know, making sure they get the best performance possible out of the group and, you know, see if that's good enough then on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock.
Just from knowing Henry Kieran, what do you think he's bringing to Galway at the minute?
Look, I suppose knowing Henry, he brings a very professional attitude. He's always one of the hardest working lads I've ever seen playing. And I suppose he's trying to instill that in this Galway team. And obviously then, you know, he has his own flair and his own way and his own confidence in terms of how he hurled. And you're trying to instill that in players as well. Along with trying to bring some sort of structure as well. So look, it's not an easy task, you know. Some players can express themselves. Some players maybe need more structure to it, and you're trying to bring so many personalities together, and trying to get them all collectively to try and find that momentum that they need, I suppose, to get through a season, you know. And you can see it clicking sometimes, and we've all been on teams that when it clicks, and all of a sudden, you know, you just get that extra level of confidence, and you can take on anything that comes at you. So I suppose he's trying to find that. You know, he's trying to find that. And, you know, I suppose for Galway last year, the Leinster final and, you know, the sucker punch that was, and trying to go in the qualifier route and trying to build momentum again like that and get to the semi-final. You know, it's hard. You know, it absolutely is hard. So I suppose from Galway's point of view, obviously getting the draw at the weekend, you know, absolutely. You know, thinking that beforehand, probably Galway are a little bit favourites going in, but they still dug it out. As I think they got 6 of the last 8 scores, so they got the draw. Look, they got a result that, you know, with 5 or 6 minutes to go, you'd be saying, look, Galway have lost here. So they've gotten that. Are they going to build momentum again? If they go down to Wexford and turn over Wexford down in Wexford Park, obviously they're building momentum again, you know. So from Henry's point of view, he's trying to build momentum with that, you know, because anytime, even with Ballyhale, his club side, you know, Ballyhale at certain times in previous county seasons were near relegation in senior. And all of a sudden then, it's just like they flick a switch and they get that momentum. They have a couple of big wins and they just carry that momentum the whole way through and, you know, carry it the whole way through to the whole club championship season as well. You know, so that's what he's probably looking for. He's looking for that moment. And look, maybe Salthill could be a building block to that moment that he's trying to get. And they have obviously next weekend, short turnaround to go down. Get a win there, obviously you're building further momentum, you know, and you know, you just build it from there. And that's what he's probably looking to do. That's what any manager's looking to do. You know, you build momentum, gives the team confidence in their ability, gives the team confidence, I suppose, in the game plan they're doing, makes them believe that a little bit more, and they kind of bite into that a little bit more and, you know, maybe express themselves a little bit more. So look, that's probably what Henry's trying to bring. And it's not that easy to do. If it was, you know, we'd all be the likes of Limericks, and we'd all be the likes of Brian Cody's back in the day, you know. But that's probably what he's trying to get with this team.
And Tony, just before we do finish, Kieran mentions there the short turnaround. Galway played 2 games in the last 2 weeks, so you would expect management somewhat to maybe freshen things up just a slight bit, because like it is very taxing now for a lot of these players to go 3 weeks in a row.
Maybe like the intensity of the games, it's probably hard to judge, I suppose, this stage of the season. I think they've been played in good conditions, you know, physically they've been intense enough, I'd say. But I'd say lads are still relatively mentally and physically fresh now, and I'd say they're, you know, already looking ahead to Saturday and just targeting that and getting their preparation. You know, they've been well versed in this now the last couple of seasons in terms of league and championship and what they need to do nutritionally and mentally and physically to get themselves primed for Saturday. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be an issue in terms of freshness. I think any decisions they'll be making really will be based on trying to improve the team rather than a fella needs a rest or anything like that. And I think it's a big game for Galway to target before they get that break of 2 weeks. So I think they'll be going with as close to the team as possible, I'd say, from Saturday night, barring injury, and trying to keep a bit of continuity and consistency in terms of positioning and the selection, as Kieran highlighted. I think it's really, really important that you try to keep 12 or 13 lads in the remaining positions and just start to build that kind of fluidity in the team and develop those patterns and relationships as close as possible to your best performance.
And Tony, how do you see it going? Do you see Galway getting the results on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd be confident enough. Like, I think we've a really good record both at home and away against Wexford, and we've seemed to been able to manage that challenge the last couple of years. So with the right attitude and approach, I think Galway have enough ability in the panel to pull out a big performance Saturday evening, and I think they'll have enough strength and depth to overcome Wexford, although I expect you to go down to the last quarter again, and team's gonna have to execute very well to finish out on top.
Kieran, how do you see it going?
Yeah, look, based on both teams and how they've progressed at the moment, I would see Galway as favourites. I would think Galway probably should win out by a few points. Saying that, look, we said that before, and we've been overturned ourselves a few times. But yeah, look, based on how things are going, and I suppose based on the performance at the weekend, I suppose they should have momentum from that. You have two various different teams, and you can say both, one coming from a loss, one coming from a draw, but obviously a better performance. Momentum, obviously, and from a mindset point of view, you'd be saying it's more geared towards Galway. So look, that's why I would say Galway probably should tip it by a few points.
And that's what we're all hoping for on Saturday, that Galway can get the result down in Wexford. That's all we do have time for onto today's podcast. Thanks to Tony and Kieran for coming on.